It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, January 16th, 2018. We have about 8 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory in effect through this morning, actually through tomorrow morning, for winds. And then we have a gale warning in effect from Wednesday morning through late Wednesday night. So the weather is going to kind of take a turn for the very slightly difficult out there. Well, rather difficult out there. We have south winds 10 to 15 knots, gusting to 25 today. Wind waves from the south, 4 feet at 5 seconds apart, and southwest swells, 12 feet high at 13 seconds apart. Showers all day long are possible, and isolated thunderstorms in the morning at sea are possible also. So the weather's going to get a little bit difficult as we head on through the rest of the week. We seem to have that sort of, I have called it in the past, kind of musical storms, you know, like musical chairs, one storm after another coming through. One storm crowds another one out, and they follow one another with little breaks in between. Well, today on our ship schedule, we have 8 vessels. We have two inbounders, one in the Astoria Anchorage, one in the Rice Island Anchorage, and 4 outbounders. And today I'm going to talk with you more about that a ceremony at Cape Disappointment this weekend on Saturday morning that I attended that was to honor the tragedy of the loss of the Triumph motor lifeboat and 2 other 36-foot motor lifeboats. This was a disaster that happened in 1961 on the Columbia River Bar. 7 people died, 5 Coast Guardsmen, and 2 fishermen. And it was just a terrible situation in which the weather was so bad that it just made it almost impossible for the rescue basically impossible to conduct. And so a survivor spoke at that, one of the people on the Triumph, the only person on that vessel who lived, Gordon Huggins, spoke. I shared his remarks with you yesterday. And today I'm going to share another piece from that ceremony. Rear Admiral Daniel Neptune talking about a very delicate topic that I would never have brought up in an interview unless someone else did. He brought up the topic of survivor guilt, the people who live beyond this kind of a disaster and wonder, why me? Why did I live when someone else died? So we'll hear his remarks about that. But first of all, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have those 2 inbounders. The first one is the Red Rose arriving from China, headed for Kalama. She'll be picking up corn, soy, or wheat when she gets there, or some combination of the above. These ships have different, very separate cargo holds, and so they are very, very, it's very possible for them to pick up one cargo in one hold and another one in another hold, and so they can sometimes go from one port to another coming downriver before they're full, and they eventually leave and head out across the bar. So she'll pass Astoria inbound around 1:30 a.m. You might see her in Kalama by about 7:30, so she should already be there by now. The Everbest is arriving from China, headed for Astoria's anchorage. Not sure what her cargo is yet. No berth was identified on the schedule this morning. She'll be there at about 7:30 p.m. In the Astoria anchorage, we have the Consolidator. She is awaiting orders. At the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria on the Washington side near Tongue Point, across from Tongue Point, is the Ajax awaiting orders. These are all bulk carriers. In outbounders, we have the SITC Hengshan. She is a bulk carrier with the wheat on board, heading out of the port of Longview around noon. You might see her pass Astoria mid-afternoon, 3:30, 4 o'clock. Then the Neutrino is leaving Portland with wheat on board also around noon. She could pass Astoria outbound around 6 p.m. The Meineke is leaving Kalama. Corn, soy, or wheat are possible cargoes there. She's leaving about 6 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 11 p.m. And the Arietta is leaving Portland with wheat on board, leaving around 6:30 p.m. You might see her pass Astoria outbound somewhere after midnight, see her running lights go by early Wednesday morning. And so today, if you look at our schedule, all the ships are bulk carriers. They are all bulk carriers, and looks like everybody that we know of is carrying some kind of grain, either corn, soy, or wheat on board, some sort of agricultural cargo, put it that way. Soy is beans, of course. But and that is kind of the way of it. The most prevalent type of ship in the maritime industry, and certainly on the Columbia River, is the dry bulk carrier. And we are a great export area here. The Columbia River sends a lot of ships out, brings a lot of ships in light, and they leave loaded. And so that is the kind of a port area that we are. And so today, just interesting that all of our vessels are bulk carriers. Well, today I wanted to share with you, I went to this ceremony, Cape Disappointment, on Saturday. It was very moving. It was Coast Guard people sort of talking to their own. It was a ceremony. Most of the people there were family members, current Coast Guard enlisted, current Coast Guard active duty, put it that way, personnel, officers, family members, retired Coast Guard people. Some of the people were people who were involved in the Triumph disaster, helping. One was a survivor who was on the boat, the Triumph, Gordon Huggins, who you heard from yesterday. It was an extremely moving service. The people there were deeply affected by what they heard because this is what they do, and this was about them. And I think many of those people listening to these remarks thought, that could have been me, or at some point in my career in the Coast Guard, that could be me. So one of the topics, as I said earlier, that was brought up was the topic of survivor guilt. There were several speakers. One of them was this gentleman, retired Rear Admiral Daniel Neptune, talking about what it means, what it's like to be the one who lived when others did not.
Just all of a sudden, they're doing their job and then they're fighting for their lives. Unfortunately, they lost those. One young lieutenant, the co-pilot, survived. His name was Lieutenant Lance Leone. He was from Ventura, California. It shook him up mightily. He was carrying guilt around, probably still is. What could I have done differently was running through his mind, and it certainly would have been running through mine if that were my particular mishap. And I'm sure he still struggles with that today. So watching survivors of these things at a ceremony like this, all of those emotions rush back. And you've probably seen that to my left already a couple of times, just with the mention of the Triumph Mermaid or the Sea King. Those things live with you for the rest of your life.
And so what he's talking about there is, to his left was standing, among other people, Gordon Huggins, who was the sole survivor of the crew of the Triumph. And during parts of the ceremony, they read the names of survivors and rang a bell between the names. And that's a very moving thing that does go on at maritime ceremonies. And it was just a very affecting thing. You could tell that the speakers, if you're looking around at the audience, you could tell that the people there were young and old, were deeply affected by what was happening there. And when I talked to Gordon Huggins, I had recorded his comments from the podium. And then I had a chance to talk to him for a minute. He was with his family. And I said, I'd just like to ask you two questions. How long did you serve in the Coast Guard after this event? And he went back to work and worked for another 10 years and spent a career in the Coast Guard. And I said to him, knowing what you know, would you do this again? And he said, absolutely. It's a family. And looking around that room, I could see that it very clearly was a family that lasts your whole life if you're part of an organization like that. People go through such hardships and triumphs together, and successes together, that it affects their whole life. So when you think about calling the Coast Guard, we sort of think of, if we get in trouble, we'll call the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard is people just like us. They've chosen a difficult and demanding job in their lives. But any one of us could have made that choice to join the Coast Guard and be there in taking those risks. And so those are our friends and neighbors who come out to help us when things start to hit the fan. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.